Let's see here. If I'm not mistaken, it's 35 degrees outside, and it feels like it, too. But they say maybe 64 will hit as our high today. So it is fall, isn't it?
Indeed. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah, and looking around there, let's see here. Some of our neighboring communities, I see Pomeroy has 36, Jackson 37, Gallup Police 37, just to mention a few. All right. Well, anyway, good morning, folks. WATH, the party line. And Steve's here. I'm here. And we got a free-for-all today. And there's certainly things to go over. But just a word about upcoming show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about our Ohio State Highway Patrol post here in Athens. And Sergeant Bryce Niehiser, I think I'm saying that right, will do that for us. He'll be our guest tomorrow. So Athens Post of the Ohio State Highway Patrol. There we go. I got it out. All right. Well, what was fun in your weekend, Steve?
Well, we visited Lancaster and did a remote for a client up there. And other than that, I was basking in the afterglow of the local high school team, which is Eastern. They play right in my backyard in Meigs County. They defeated Hannibal River in a regional semifinal to earn the right to play in the regional final this coming Friday. At 7 o'clock at Warren High School, they'll be taking on Caldwell. So there is still a local team that's out there vying to win a state championship, and of course, the people of Meigs County are very excited about it.
Well, I would hope so.
It's like a once in a lifetime thing, really.
Yeah, it's cool. And let's see, any of our other high schools still doing anything?
Well, here were the finals from last Friday. There were a number of games that were being played, but none of our local favorites. In the Division 5 Region 19 semifinal, Harvest Prep defeated Ironton by a score of 20-14, and I think that game was played at Joe Burrow Stadium right up the street. In the Division 6 Region 23 semifinal, West Jefferson defeated Fort Fry 49-30. And across the river in West Virginia, in a Class A WVSSAC high school playoff game and opening round, the Wahama White Falcons defeated Summers County by a score of 65-14.
Mm, wow. Well, let's see here. I forgot to silence my phone. I'm doing that right now. Anyway, good morning, folks. Welcome. And feel free to... let's see. We got some things we need to observe, don't we? There's like some events and so on.
Well, there are several days of focus to talk about here this morning. When I came in, of course, and I was preparing for my show prep, you typically get some type of a flag every day notifying you that there is a day out there that is taking place. To help you remember certain things. First up, today is World Kindness Day.
Wow.
And the theme of this year is always, always choose kindness. And who can argue with that mantra and all? It's also, I understand, World Diabetes Day. No, I take that back, Dave. That is actually tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
But I was doing a little research on that. I understand, according to a website I was looking at, there are 37.5 million Americans that suffer from diabetes, if I can put it that way. It certainly is on the radar as far as chief illnesses in the United States, and having a day to focus on it is important. Of course, they have a website out there, diabetes.org, that will help anyone understand some of the symptoms, as well as some of the lifestyle changes that are relatively simple that can help you ward off having problems with your sugar. It's amazing how simple a little adjustment in what you eat and maybe a little little extra exercise, like walking daily or maybe even drinking a little bit more water, can help keep you away from that sort of thing. So these are days that are set aside to help us once again rechannel our attentions. Not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, November, National Diabetes Awareness Month, and obesity has a lot to do with that. In fact, they say obesity is costing the healthcare system $173 billion each year. So, the Wallet Hub organization, which we use periodically, they did a study on this just recently. And so this study is listed as, the title rather, 2023's Most Overweight and Obesity and Obese States in America. Now, Ohio. Where do we rank? We rank 14th. First being most overweight, 25th being average, 50th least overweight, right? But in Ohio, overall rank for Ohio is 14th out of 50. Okay, that's, but any part of obesity is something you should try to lessen, right?
We eat so much processed sugar nowadays, and more and more sedentary lives. We're stuck in front of our computers. We work more, so we have less time for exercise and things like that. And there's so many reasons for it. It's not just diet. I truly believe it's lifestyle. I find that when I am active, and I'm not talking about being going to the gym and killing myself for an hour, but just taking a walk 3 times a week, that more than anything else on the planet helps me maintain a relatively decent weight. And I've been working real hard to...
And that you've been doing that?
Yeah, I lost, like a lot of people, over the years, I have been battling my weight. And I will have periods where it gets away from me and periods where I'm relatively in tow, so to speak. Over the last 5 or 6 years, I've been pretty good about it. But let me put it to you this way. About 7 years ago, I found myself scratching 300 pounds. And I knew that that was not a good figure to even get close to with the history that's in my family of heart disease and sugar problems. And I made a concerted effort at that time to lose some weight. I ended up losing 70 pounds. Now, during the COVID pandemic, I put some of that that weight back on, simply because so many of us all of a sudden slipped back into the old patterns of, well, we couldn't do anything. We were told to stay home, and you really couldn't get out and do anything. So I put a little bit back on, but I've taken almost all of the weight off that I had lost initially. And so far this year, I've been in good shape. I weigh myself every day. A lot of people say, oh, why do you do that? But it helps me keep my weight in check. If I find myself spiking, then I make adjustments during the week to make sure I stay within that window. And I want to weigh about 215 pounds. 206 to 215. As long as I'm in that window, then I'm good, and my doctors are happy with it, and the medication I take is decreased.
Well, let's talk a little more about this national ranking. Okay, mm-hmm. So Ohio overall 14th in terms of overweight or obesity. Now, let us just talk about who, if we're 14th, who is, shall we say, 13th, right? And go on down. So, heavier than Ohio, if you will, Kansas. Before them, North Carolina. Before them, coming in 11th, Oklahoma. 10th, Delaware State. 9th, South Carolina. Coming in 8th, Texas, 7th, Alabama, 6th, Tennessee. Arkansas comes in at number 5, Louisiana number 4, Kentucky at number 3, Mississippi at number 2, and do you dare guess who made 1?
Wisconsin?
West Virginia.
Really? You know, that really surprises me. You mentioned a couple of states in there. As soon as I heard them, I'm like, that's kind of interesting. South Carolina and North Carolina. Beautiful states. The weather is moderate. Lots of outdoor beauty to enjoy. The people that I know who live there seem to enjoy the beaches and the foothills that they go hiking through. And I never noticed when I was visiting there last year, a lot of people that seem to be heavy. Now, in West Virginia, I do notice that there seem to be a lot more folks there that are battling their weight more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you notice those things. I would have thought that the cold weather states obviously would probably have an edge on being more obese than the warmer weather states. But, you know, South Carolina, Texas, North Carolina, there's some states there that the weather I would consider to be relatively moderate, and it's amazing they're on in that. The bad side of that list.
Right. Well, it's, again, I don't want to overdo this topic, but a little bit more yet. But as far as me personally, you know, in the last 2 years, I've had a number of people say, you've lost weight. And I don't believe I did anything really intentional to try to do that. It just occurred. And either way, I'm glad it's happened. Well, let's go on here. So, overall ranking for Ohio, 14th in the nation. How about, let's see here, in terms of obese adults, we ranked 6th. Overweight children, 7th. Obese children, 29th. Physically inactive adults, 17th. Let's see. Adults eating less than one serving of fruits or vegetables daily, 22nd. And in terms of adults with type 2 diabetes, we're 11th. And the last little stat here I have, adults with hypertension, 11th also. Well, Ohioans, we've got to, it's not a competition between states. It is for our own personal well-being. So we just point some of those points out to you. Well, good morning, folks. Today a free-for-all, and lots of things going on. Let's see, in terms of headlines, I guess we could talk about a few of those. In the top news items, Israeli forces near a struggling hospital, they say covers a Hamas complex. Israeli officials say that Hamas has built a complex under Al-Shifa, a major Gaza hospital. I know I turned that off. Why did it make noise? let's see here. But Hamas denies it is operating from beneath the hospital, whose patients face dire conditions, and they were having a number of different power outages, which makes it very complicated for hospitals, of course. What about another item? Let's see. The FBI is examining whether Adams cleared red tape for Turkish government. We're talking about Eric Adams. And after winning the 2021 Democratic mayoral primary, Eric Adams successfully pressed city officials to allow the opening of a Manhattan high-rise housing the Turkish consulate general. Let's see here. Here's another story out in Arizona, I think. The teaser line says they wanted to get sober, they got a nightmare instead. Arizona spent $1 billion on addiction treatment, much of it fraudulent, officials said. Oh, that's too bad. Sources of Native Americans who sought help are still struggling with untreated addictions. Some of them have died in rehab. He's right. Why is it that so often we hear criticism of how funds were used? And you know what I mean?
I do. I think that has a direct correlation with an indisputable fact that so much money in this country is in fact wasted. My dad used to very opinionated on this subject. He used to claim, never gave any evidence, it was just a general blanket statement of his, he would say, the United States has created more millionaires than any other business or investment means in the world. And he always felt that so much of the money that we gave other nations for this cause, for that cause, for this and that, ended up going to places where it wasn't intended. And I don't know the truth of that. We know in our own country from the studies that we've seen how we tend to spend the highest price no matter what on whatever we purchase. Mm-hmm. Remember that old story about the toilets that the United States Air Force was spending tens of thousands of dollars on, and I don't know if it was true or not. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but clearly, there is a lot of waste, and that probably comes from lack of oversight. It's like the money goes out. Nobody really watches how it's spent, and how can you once you give it to a foreign government? I guess there's an element of trust there, but clearly, a lot of the money that the United States has sent out in aid, and nobody would dispute that we're a very generous country and all of that, but a lot of it hasn't necessarily gone for the purpose for which it was intended. So maybe that's where some of that comes from, Dave, some of that criticism.
Well, I don't know. I don't know as I want to say not for the purpose, but I would say not as efficiently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, who knows? I wish we all did.
We obviously want to get the biggest bang for our buck, but there's just no way of ensuring that. But I think that's, you ask me, so
of course.
That's where I think it probably comes from.
And you know, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's so complicated. Well, let's see here. What else do we have? We've got, 1 year in the infuriating and humiliating search for a job in South Africa. What are they talking about? Oh, Portia Stafford has a high school diploma in hospitality and 3 certificates from job training programs. Portia is among a generation of ambitious Africans who spend their days chasing an elusive opening, not being able to find a job.
That's in South Africa, or is this a woman who's come to the United States trying to achieve the American dream that so many have aspired for?
No, she is from South Africa and had an education and just can't find a gig there.
It's tough. I don't want to sound judgmental one way or the other. A lot of it has to do. Now, I don't have any idea how much debt this woman has compiled from getting all of those degrees. You said she has a high school diploma, but she also has certificates from trade schools. Undoubtedly, that ended up costing her money. And of course, the pressure is always on once you've completed those courses, you have to start repaying them. And a lot of times that first job might not necessarily bring in sufficient money to support not only the student loan debt, but the car payment that you have, the rent, the food, the insurance, and everything else that we all pay for just to live.
So, and you know, in South Africa, they may not have all of those things.
It's very true.
I mean, we're speaking more like what it might be like here.
True. I do not. I don't. I'm not an expert on South Africa.
Nor
that's for sure.
But
it is frustrating. I know. You talk with young people here, and they feel, you know, there's a lot of young people who run into that same dynamic. They just can't find the job that they were hoping to get upon completing all of their studies.
Well, let's see here. Netanyahu sees no near-term role for Palestinian Authority in a post-war Gaza. That's kind of like the headline. Now let's see what they're talking about. Differing from the U.S. view, the Israeli Prime Minister also said Israel must retain security control over Gaza so it can be demilitarized and de-radicalized. Okay. Well, so be it. What about the occupied West Bank? You know, it's divided, right? Very divided. Some of it's by faith, others by fear. And as bloodshed surges around them, an Israeli settler and a Palestinian tour guide search for answers and a shred of hope. I'm sure there's a story there that we probably ought to dig into and share with you sometime this week. In Texas, there's a story about the Vietnamese American shrimpers must forge a new path again. The story goes on. They overcame the trauma of war, language barriers, and prejudice to become successful shrimpers. But the decline of the industry in America is forcing them to consider other options.
Are people not, is shrimp one of those foods that has either been over harvested, hence there's not enough of it, or is it a food that is falling in disfavor? Because it sure does seem like people still eat a lot of shrimp.
I certainly do. And it is among, you know, I like seafood and crab and stuff like that. But I don't know the answer to your question. Maybe we'll dig in and share what we find out later in the week.
You know, I'd like to throw this in at you, Dave. Thanksgiving is a week from Thursday. Shocked my wife this weekend in a discussion about that. It just seems like the holiday season has just absolutely rushed towards us this year.
Yes.
But there's, you know, some decent news to talk about as we get closer and closer to what is traditionally a huge travel time. First of all, and this is good news for those who are planning on taking trips 50 or more miles away from their home, which a lot of Americans will. Well over 40% are planning on making such a travel. Gas prices right now nationally, the average gallon for gasoline is $3.36. which is much lower than it was a year ago when it was 377.
Yes.
Gas has been steadily going down, and of course is welcome news to everyone. In Ohio right now, it's 322.
But tell me why. Tell me why it is. What was the number you just gave?
The 336, the national average.
Okay, it's 305 as soon as you go across the Ohio River down to Mason. Why is that?
I have to assume that it has something to do with the taxation on gasoline. Kentucky right now, the average price is $2.98.
Yeah.
West Virginia, it's $3.26. Now, you're going to find some stations where it's cheaper. Virginia, $3.14. Mm-hmm. Down south, Georgia, $2.84. Alabama, $2.94. So there's a pretty... The Deep South has basically right now paying below $3. There are some areas where it is still incredibly high out west. And again, a lot of this has to do with regulation and the taxation on gasoline. California is paying right now over $5 a gallon. New York, $3.65. Pennsylvania is at $3.62. But going back out west again, Oregon, $4.20. Washington, $4.50. But in general, the prices are going down around the country. Supplies appear to be good, and that's a good thing. I would also add, and this was something I was looking at this morning.
Yeah.
The average price, well, let me back up. A year ago, you might remember that we had some kind of an avian flu that was affecting turkeys. Well, that was driving the price of the holiday birds up significantly. I remember we paid over $100 for a turkey last year. Now we got a rather large one because we had several people around the table. This year, however, the good news is, according to USA Today, which quoted the findings of a survey from the Farm Bureau, turkey prices are going to be down 22%. That's the good news. The bad news is the other things that traditionally go into Thanksgiving meals is up.
I read that story yesterday.
So on average, I think I remember 4.1% increase in the overall cost of the meal, even though turkey is down 22%. So my goodness, how much more is it? Is it costing us to buy potatoes and beans and canned pumpkin and all the other things that go into that meal that we all love this time of the year? So there's some good news there. Travel prices should be down. Food prices up, I guess you'd have to say marginally, and I guess depending on what you eat, could be significantly. A lot of people might just pare back on the other things. I don't know, but there is some good news to be found in there, that's for sure.
Yes, well, it is one of our major holidays, and it's one of our major family events, and I think any of us that can make it, that tradition will.
Yeah, and I know that it's good to hear that a lot of people are planning on traveling. I think of what was it, a couple of years ago, where we were all basically locked into our houses, and that was a very hard situation for people who use that as a day to get together with families. We were deprived that due to circumstances beyond our control, but at least this year, it doesn't appear, when you throw everything in, the price of gas and everything, even with the food, it still appears we're going to be paying less overall than last year for the holiday.
You know, family gatherings, and I'm meaning on a not immediate family, larger than that. Mm-hmm. That used to be a part of my life. That has all pretty much faded away. And I don't know if it's because some of the older people are gone now and they were the people who particularly wanted and pushed for it, or whether it was COVID or just what caused it, but I miss the larger type family reunion sort of things. You know what I mean?
When I was a boy, we would have an entire family gathered around our table. I mean, we had a relatively small family compared to everybody else in the neighborhood. My best friend came from a family that had 15 children in it.
Mercy.
But in my house, we had five kids, of course, the two parents and a grandparent. So there was eight, and then we had my uncle and aunt and my cousin. So there was 11, another set of grandparents. So that's 13, and inevitably we would always have at least a couple of friends who came in. So it wasn't that uncommon for there to be, you know, 13 to 17 people around the table. And my mom loved to cook, and she loved to entertain, as did my dad. But you were talking about why have things kind of gone the other way. Well, in my family, and I can only speak for my family, my mom was the magnet. When she passed away, and she's been gone a long, long, long time, the holiday gatherings started to compress a little bit. And when my father died over 10 years ago, I sometimes forget how long he's been gone, my brothers and sisters and I, we stopped getting together again. Now we all live all over the place. My brother and sister, I have a brother and sister in the Carolinas. I have a sister who lives in Troy, Michigan, which is right outside of Detroit, and I live in Ohio, and my son lives down in Orlando. So it's kind of hard for us all to get together because of sheer distance. And I think in the old days, families used to be in a relatively, I know in Detroit, we were all within 10, 15 miles of each other. So it was relatively easy to get together. We didn't have to do this, you know, travel from hundreds of miles, and that has a lot to do with it too, I believe.
A lot of my family was involved in Peace Corps. And yet we would have these get-togethers, I don't know, every couple of years, and they'd all make it in, you know, and whether they were serving in Africa or, you know, wherever. And then, of course, lots of them were still in the U.S. But, I mean, the point is, it just seems like there was more effort put into it. And I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, I miss it.
I can't disagree with you. Why don't we take a break, and we'll be back with more of Dave Palmer's free-for-all here on Mix 97.3 FM and 970 WATH.
Here's what's going on.
Get ready for an exciting November at Baroque State Park. Discover the wonders of Ohio's wildlife and natural beauty with our fantastic lineup of naturalist programs. On November 3rd, it's Mammals of Ohio, a fascinating journey into our state's furry inhabitants. For the little ones, on November 11th, it's Storytime in the Park, featuring animal tracks. Don't miss National Take a Hike Day on November 18th, a 2-mile trek to celebrate the great outdoors. And throughout the month, explore nuts, seeds, and much more. Come to Baroque State Park and immerse yourself in nature's splendor. Join us this November at Baroque State Park. Check their website or call naturalist Julie Gee at 740-818-4530 for all the details.
Hey, have you ever been ripped off? It sucks. Having a daily reminder of it is even worse. If you shave with a well-known big razor brand every morning, you might be thinking more about how much you paid for the blades than about how smooth your shave is. I'm Andy, the founder of Harry's. We give you a high-quality shave and an expertly engineered product for a fraction of the price that the big guys charge, with no compromises. They have five blades, Harry's has five blades. They have a lubricating strip, Harry's has a lubricating strip for extra glide. They have a trimmer blade, Harry's has a trimmer blade for the hard-to-reach areas. They charge up to $4 per blade. Our German engineered blades cost as little as $2. Big brands charge higher prices because they can. Harry's keeps you in mind, focusing on high quality at a fair price. So stop rinsing cash down the drain every morning. Get a great shave for a fraction of the price with Harry's. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/music. That's harrys.com/music.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The McRib is back, which means I'm suffering from a severe case of McRib FOMO fever. Luckily, I can get the McRib combo meal with McDonald's world-famous fries and an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Plus, I can get 20% off any order of $3 or more in the McDF. It's the ultimate cure for my McRib FOMO fever. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Offer valid until 12/31/23 at participating McDonald's for a limited time. Valid once per day. Must opt in to rewards. Dr. Pepper's a registered trademark of Dr. Pepper 7-Up, Inc.
Live and local, this is Party Line with Dave Palmer on Mix 97.3 and 970 WATH.
And Steve as well. That's right. All right. Well, good morning, folks, once again. We've got about 15, 16 minutes left in the show. And it's a Monday. And let's see here. The 13th day of November.
And right now, Dave, the temperatures are relatively holding steady. They haven't gone up a whole lot since the last time we mentioned it, but we're looking at going to a high of 63 with lots of sunshine. And I did want to mention this, I got a text message from a friend, lives north of here in Michigan. Evidently the Aurora Borealis put on quite a show over the weekend up there.
Yes. Years ago I experienced such a thing at a observatory, and I've been meaning to call some of our local observatory folks and seeing if if they had any opportunities for me to check things out on through their scopes and things.
Wasn't that long ago? It was last winter they were actually visible down here. I don't know how bright they were. We used to have events when I lived in Michigan where it was unbelievable, where you'd see the ribbons just yes. kind of going across the sky. It was pretty fantastic. Last year, it seems to be where I lived, I made a concerted effort to try to get outside in the night to look at the things, and it was very cloudy that night, so I was out of luck. But it just seems like they've been coming further south, and of course it depends on who knows what it depends on, atmospheric conditions, whatever. But they are magnificent to see, and it would be nice to be able to walk outside and see the northern lights in our own skies one of these days.
Are you a snake lover?
Not really. I don't hate them. And as long as I see them and know they're around and reasonably far away from me,
Yeah, I guess
they have a purpose.
Do they?
Yeah.
What would you call that?
Well, depending on the snake, they help keep down the rodents.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah. They take care of some of the pests and things like that. I guess they also eat other snakes. But in some countries, without the snakes, they would literally have their food stocks devoured by mice and rats. At least that's what I've heard.
Well, Florida is having a problem with Burmese pythons. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, these people buy these snakes. They're non-indigenous, meaning they're not supposed to be there, but pet shops import these creatures and people think it's neat to own them until all of a sudden they get so big that nobody wants them in the house. And these things can get huge. I think I read that story. This thing was like 17 feet long or something like that and weighed a couple hundred pounds. Well, they let them go into the wilderness. Of course, there are other pythons out there. So they have a snake problem in Florida created by people well-intentioned. I don't want to have the animal destroyed. I'm just going to release it. So it ends up going into the environment and becoming a nuisance when it starts attacking things that don't expect it to be there.
Well, evidently, they're becoming, so great in numbers that there is now a move afoot to find and euthanize these invasive Burmese pythons. I thought that was interesting. And, of course, when do you have to do that? Most likely, they say, in the dead of night. I don't know why, but...
I guess they hunt at night?
I can only guess, but it sounds a little frightening to me.
You know, they had not too far from where I lived, we had a spider problem. It's along the same lines. People would buy these creatures and then decide they don't want them, and then you just let them go. So the next thing you know, you have these giant tarantula spiders that are literally becoming so prevalent in an area that people are getting wigged out by it. In Jupiter, I think it was, they had a horrible problem. And we're talking about spiders that are as big as your hand. Truth of the matter is, I have a bigger problem with spiders than I do have with snakes. So that bothered me.
Yeah. I hope everybody knows we have a new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and a much younger fellow than some of our previous speakers. He's married, and his wife, I think her name is Kelly, she herself has some hardline views on certain topics. And there's a few people raising their eyebrows, if you know what I mean. The sentence that I have in front of me, and this is from the Associated Press, says, "The wife of Mike Johnson, the new speaker, has rallied opposition to abortion rights and used her pastoral counseling business to condemn homosexuality." I think everybody's entitled to their personal opinions. I think
I couldn't agree more. I just don't know. It just baffles me why the Republican Party continues to beat this drum when the people have spoken over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah. Well. I just wish can't we just all get along?
Well, that's
you know what I mean. That's so stupid and silly. But
I bet you I have views on this subject which I will not discuss.
Okay.
All right. But the bottom line is, I have found a peace in living and let living. And giving people the choice to live the way that they live and want to live, I don't really see anything wrong with that. That doesn't mean that I have to be forced to live the way they do, but I shouldn't force them to live the way that I do either, which goes back to the greater point. Why can't we just get along?
You know, we continue to talk about drugs, and at least to my knowledge, the people I know and care for are not having issues with drugs, but maybe I don't know. You know what I mean? Anyway. When political leaders talk about America's current drug crisis, They are typically referring to opioids like painkillers, heroin, fentanyl. And when they have passed laws to deal with the problem in the past decade, those policies have centered around opioids. They have, for example, focused on boosting access to medications that treat only opioid addiction or reverse only opioid overdoses. That narrow focus has neglected the rise of other drugs. In the last 5 years, overdose deaths involving methamphetamines have tripled. Those linked to cocaine have doubled. People addicted to opioids increasingly use other substances, including meth, cocaine, and prescription medications like Valium and Xanax. Meth use in particular has also made it difficult to stabilize patients and keep them in treatment for any drug. As one addiction doctor explained, and this is like a quote, "The paranoia and hallucinations caused by meth disorient them. One patient threw himself in a river to escape non-existent people who he thought were chasing him. Others insisted that dumpsters were talking to them, that color-coded cars were sending them messages." These types of problems are why experts have long urged policymakers to take a comprehensive approach to drug addiction. More support for opioid addiction medications is important, but so is funding underused treatments that address meth and cocaine addiction. And even such things as paying people not to use them. Well, this is, I'm sorry, it's a topic I'm not very familiar with, because I've known people that have had problems, but I've never participated in it myself. And
I can say the same thing. You know, going out on a limb just a little bit here, and hopefully not going out too far, I do know that it appears that a lot of the problems at least started with the concept that that people have become so pain averse. Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody wants to be in pain.
Of course.
All right. And I get it. There is some pain that has to be managed. But how many times have I been to a doctor's office and overheard somebody say, "Just give me a pill"? I don't know what they were being treated for, but there came about a time where we expected there to be a pill for every single ailment out there. And I don't know how realistic that is. The bottom line is, it just seems like doctors at one point in time were told that they needed to treat pain first before anything else. You might remember the question that was asked on, maybe you've been asked this, I know I have been on more than one occasion when I was experiencing pain, "Rate your pain on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yes, I've been asked that.
All right, well, you know, depending on your answer, I guess, you know, that ended up on what type of treatment course that you ended up getting. I've been one of those individuals, I don't want to give myself any more credit than I deserve, but I don't like taking medication. So I will put up with pain as opposed to take a pill. Now, there have been times where when I hurt my neck a few years ago and I was just in excruciating pain for days on end, I couldn't sleep for days. I was literally begging for something to help relieve it. It was that bad. It was a very bad incident for me. And I'm sympathetic along those lines, but I guess there's, everybody has their own definition for it. I have to be hurting pretty bad to want something. Maybe my threshold is higher than others, and maybe it's lower than somebody else's.
Well, maybe because we are in the news industry to some degree, and we hear so much about these things that we're just cautious.
You're right. I think that has something to do with it, because we've seen, or at least read about, I actually have known people that have had addiction problems. Mm-hmm. And it has been a horrible situation for them and everyone around them, as all substance abuse is. There's more than one victim involved in it, the families, friends, everybody that associates that with the person is probably going to be affected some way. And obviously the person affected is going to be affected most of all. But yeah, I think that you're right. And it has a lot to do with why I have had an aversion to it. But also, you know, my dad was a doctor and he just didn't think that you needed a pill for everything. Consequently, he would treat, we would get the medication if we needed it, but you know, sometimes the treatment might be just as simple as aspirin. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, certainly. I don't know what grocery chain it is, but I saw a headline this morning said a grocery chain just fired its self-checkouts. Why? They're bringing humans back. In other words, checkout counters will be human beings.
I would prefer to deal with a human being, but a lot of times you just don't have any choice anymore.
Yeah.
If you want to get out of the store, you have to scan your own groceries.
Things are always changing, aren't they?
They are.
Well, that kind of wraps up this today's program. Tomorrow, our topic will be the Athens Post of the Ohio State Highway Patrol. And I believe Sergeant Bryce Niehiser will be representing them. So we'll look forward to learning more about our local post of the Highway Patrol. Steve, I want you to have a great day.
And you do the same, Dave. Thank you very much, and join us again tomorrow, folks.
Getting the right health care for the right problem can save you time and stress. That's why Ohio Health offers three types of care options right here in Southeast Ohio. Call your primary care provider when you're sick or when you need to manage your long-term health. Visit urgent care when you can't get in with your doctor. And go to the ER for severe life-threatening situations. Find out which Ohio Health location is your best choice at ohiohealth.com/rightcare.
Who are the people that serve part-time in the Ohio Army National Guard? We are your neighbors and friends. We are your sons and daughters. Our service is providing us valuable job skills, and it pays up to 100% of our tuition. We're proud to serve our state. We are your Ohio Army National Guard. Learn more about part-time service with the Ohio Army National Guard at nationalguard.com/OH.
Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Daily reports at the stock market's close.
Tune in at 5 o'clock tonight
on WATH to stay informed about your money.
The stock market report is brought to you by Goldsberry Wealth Strategies, serving Athens County since 2005.
The Goldsberry Wealth Strategies stock market report airs exclusively in Athens County on 970 WATH weekdays
at 5 o'clock,
immediately after our local newscast.
Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Goldsberry Wealth Strategies is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Broadcasting from our Columbus Road studios and online for the world, this is Mix 97.